Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority for March 13th, 2024. I'd like to call this meeting to order and ask for roll call, please.
Ms. Barton appears to be absent at this time. Mr. Barbeau will be joining us shortly. Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie is absent presently. Mr. Hammond?
Here.
Mr. Newton?
Here.
Mr. Paulding?
Here.
Mr. Robert?
Here.
And Ms. Marks?
Here.
We do have a quorum.
Good, that's great. And now we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like Director Scott Newsom to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Newton, my apologies. Okay, good. Now we'll go on to the non-agenda public comment period. Does anybody have any comment on anything that is not on the agenda but is within the jurisdiction of the Integrated Waste Management Authority? So far,
we do not have any public comment.
All right. So with that, I'd like to ask our Executive Director, Peter Krohn, please to give his report.
Excuse me. Good afternoon, President Marks and members of the board. SB 1383 Local Assistance Grant Award, we just were awarded $1.4 million tentatively. That will become official after the 1st of April. This is the second round of funding for this application. And the funds are used specifically for SB 1383 related programs like education and outreach, record keeping, procurement, edible food recovery, and equipment associated with SB 1383. We're looking forward to getting these funds and being able to utilize these funds to augment a lot of the programs that we've already got out in place. We've issued an RFP for SB 1383 field outreach and inspection programs. This is a program that's currently run by Science Discovery. We've taken the time, we posted it on our website and also on the CRA open bids board. Looking forward to hearing back from contractors soon and having this come back to you in May. With a contract so we can get it into our next fiscal year cycle. The Repair Cafe is a group that repairs small appliances and electronic devices. They're having their next event March 23rd, 1 to 4:30 at the Community Center in Grover Beach. It's a great event because they're able to take small electronic devices, appliances, or even dull scissors and repair these items for people so that they do it at for free. So there's no cost to the individual. People make an appointment. It's been great at keeping those types of materials out of the landfill. So we advertise this on our website so people can find more information on it. And Cal Recycle just did a change at the top. Their director, Rachel Mokey Wagner, has resigned. And so now that position is being filled by an interim until it's filled by the governor. At this point in time, we don't know what that impact is going to have for us. My feeling is it may not change things much, but the director does have a lot of influence on how programs are implemented and funding and how things move forward from the Cal Recycle standpoint. So we're watching that, and we're going to we'll follow that closely and make sure that we report back to everybody. The 2024 program activities. So as you can see, we're moving through. We've completed 15 route reviews, touched 1,778 containers, where we actually open them up, look inside, see what's inside, and give feedback to the residents. On the commercial side, we've had about 364 touches where we've actually gone out and helped other commercial customers comply with SB 1383 activities. This is largely the SB 1383 outreach group that we're sending the contract out for. So this is the scope of work that we're actually reaching out to. We're working on our website to make sure that our website's a little bit more functional. Both Ashley and Carlin on our team are looking at this and trying to make it so that it's more user-friendly, everything up to including mapping, so we have interactive GIS mapping on our website, so our customer can pull up their address and find out where their local resources are and where they're available. We've got the election of officers in June at our June meeting for our board, and we're also going to be reaching to create a new five-year strategic plan. The last plan we did was, I believe, in 2020, and it was done with the county, with the intent, understanding that the county was leaving, I guess 2022, I'm sorry. So we need to revise that plan now that the county's rejoined the IWMA. And then the last thing is the Solid Waste Summit in May. This is going to take place on Thursday, May 9th. You're going to cover everything from landfill capacity, education and outreach, Paso Robles' new renewable energy park, what they're proposing up there, and a little bit more of a deeper dive into SB 54 and on the impacts that'll have with our member jurisdictions. We'll conclude with breakout sessions where people can actually sit down and talk about a number of different topics that may be interesting to them, everything including how a garbage truck operates, why do they cost $450,000, and specific items such as leachate and other items that they can look at and understand, get a better understanding that makes for them and what makes them what's of interest to them. So that concludes my executive director report. If you have any questions.
Yeah, do we have any questions? Anyone? Just a small thing. What time does the Solid Waste Summit start?
It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock.
It runs from 9 to 3.
Okay, that's great. Okay, thank you. Now we're going to head on to the consent agenda. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda?
We do not have written public comment for consent.
All right. I'm curious if any board members have any questions, comments, or would want to pull any of these items on the consent agenda. Director Hammond?
Yeah, thanks, Jen. On item 8, Peter, you're asking for point of contact designee. Do we need to explain or who that might want to be?
Correct. So that's according to the Patriot Act, we have to have an individual that is assigned to receive to a credit card account. So it has to be somebody's individual social security number. It's not a financial guarantor. It's just a designee so that when they make a change. So what I'm proposing is that the executive director position become that designee to put their information down for the credit card. It keeps, you know, it's not, how was it phrased, Daniel? It's not that I'm a guarantor, but I'm just there as a designee according to the Patriot Act.
Yep, Director Hammond, thank you for that question. So the individual who's designated, the Patriot Act requires an individual social security number in order to open to accept credit card payments. But just to be clear for you and for the board and for the public, the executive director in this case, if you approve this, is neither the guarantor nor the beneficiary. This is just a step that's required under the Patriot Act to confirm that this isn't some overseas entity that's trying to sort of siphon off funds or, you know, launder funds.
Well, I was going to suggest that the chair, you know, Jan Mark, should be the guarantee, but
no. Well, my tenure is coming up, so I think it should be Peter Cron. But before that, would you please identify yourself for the record?
Certainly. Thank you, President Marks. My name is Daniel Chung. I'm an attorney that serves with Linda Summers Smith at AMMCG. I'm sitting in for her this afternoon. Thank you for the chance to be with you.
Thank you. I think Peter has a longer longevity in this organization.
Yeah, I would agree. So yeah. We just make that basically an action where whoever the executive director is would be the
correct. Designee. Yeah, and I think in prior it's never been assigned in the agency. Somebody's already done it, but they've never had it been a designee. So I think it's important that your board actually designate someone to do
Got
this.
Got it. Okay. So,
wasn't that I wanted to volunteer.
No, and I doubt you would enjoy doing that, so thank you.
That's yeah, so the to. Recommendation is just that we identify someone, but it doesn't say who. So I guess when we entertain a motion on the consent agenda, we should include the designation of
public
the executive
first.
Director. Pardon?
Public comment first, or?
I asked for public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed
on
it.
The whole consent agenda all at once, and nobody was interested. But I'm interested. I think it's very interesting. So At any rate, any more questions on the consent agenda? I did have just a minor thing on the expense account on page 12, the payroll processing fee for paychecks. I just was curious when we're going to be through with paychecks.
So the intent is once we get through a either at the end of this reporting quarter or at the next reporting quarter, we will terminate our agreement with paychecks.
Okay.
And that we want to do that so that our payroll filings stay clear with the state of California and the federal government.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, thank you. So any other questions or comments on the consent agenda? All right, I'd like to entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I'll go ahead and do that.
Okay.
I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to approve consent items 5 through 8 with the direction on item 8 to have point of contact as our executive director.
I'll second it.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Mr. Hammond.
Aye.
Mr. Robert.
Yes.
Mr. Enns.
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
And Ms. Marks?
Yes. So was that unanimous?
Unanimous.
And it passes?
Correct.
Very good. All right. Okay, now we're going to go on the regular agenda, and I'm curious if there's any public comment on our regular agenda. That is not public comment. That is the PR, the PA system for the County Government Center. Okay. Anybody giving public comment today on the regular agenda?
We do not have any written public comments.
All right. Okay. So with that, I'd like to go on to the second quarter budget review, fiscal year 23-24. On page 17 of our packet. Mr. Krohn.
So this is the second quarter budget review for fiscal year 23-24. On April 8th of 2022, the IDMA Board of Directors approved resolution 220304, which increased the solid waste management fee from 5.4% of gross receipts collected from all permitted franchise waste haulers that collect garbage in San Luis Obispo County. As a result of the solid waste management fee increase and implementation of operational efficiencies identified in the 2022 management review, IWMA improved its net position. On June 14th of 2023, the board adopted resolution 2023-0603 to temporarily reduce the solid waste management fee from 4% to better reflect the agency's financial position. The challenge that we face is that the solid waste management franchise fee or solid waste management fee is about 80% of our revenues. Currently at 4.4%, we are once again exceeding our revenue expectations. Billing to outside agencies with the county return, that's going to fall off, but we're going to continue to see these increased revenues. Our key expense items, our salaries are behind due to staffing levels. We back up the staffing level. And there's delays in some of our expense items with hazardous waste disposal, where there's latency between it, the time that the hazardous waste is disposed and the time that it's gone cradle to grave. So it takes about 3 months at sometimes for that billing to come through. We've had a reduction in our minor expenses for SB 1383 compliance that we think will incur in this next quarter. And the contract services and public outreach, we've actually combined those two items so that they are reading together. So we've got some efficiencies there. The things that we've actually seen on budgets to actual is that our income from solid waste management fee, once again, is up about 18% over what we anticipated, even after we cut it. So that's a net challenge. And that's largely due to solid waste fees, collection fees and franchise fees going up at a rate that's anywhere between 22% and 44%. So that tying those two pieces together appears to be a problem for us as far as revenue. The salaries and benefits, as you can see, they're down a little bit. That's basically because we had reduced staffing. We've got our staffing back up, so that should fall back into line. Services and supplies, those things, we should see some increases in those expenses, but I still don't think we're going to get up to budget at this fiscal year. And then the last item is our net income. So we're over-earning at a rate that's substantial. And I want to make sure that I make that aware to the budget. So what this is all leading to is what we're going to talk about next, which is the Budget Ad Hoc Committee and getting together once again with the county's return to our the JPA, and how those things are going to impact us, and what are we going to do the next step going forward. You know, it's a good problem to have. We're on the other end of this, but once again, we even reduced our revenue by about 18%, 16% total, and we still are over-earning based upon the increases in the solid waste management franchise fees that the franchise waste haulers are charging. Because our costs and the solid waste collection costs don't run in parallel. Our costs don't go up and down as high and as volatile as the solid waste franchise haulers. So the fiscal impact on this is at the halfway point of our fiscal year. We've had a revenue of about $2.1 million and expenses of about $1.2 million. So we anticipate that those expenses will go up and get a little closer within budget, but I don't believe that our revenue is still exceeding our expenses. So once again, good problem if you're private sector, public sector, not such a good problem.
So. And the last paragraph says that we're going to be having a formal fee study.
Yeah, so the intent will be once we get through this is to get to, once we get the county back in and we can identify what we can anticipate from a revenue and expense platform, we'll go back through and we'll conduct another formal fee study. And at that point in time, I'd like to not base, we'll talk about that in more depth, but at tying the solid waste management fee to a direct percentage to all of the solid waste franchise agreements, the way we're doing it now, we're never going to overcome this over-earning. Because our expenses don't keep pace with the solid waste haulers.
Thank you. Well, okay. Any questions, Mr. Hammond?
Yeah, Peter. What is our reserves, and what percentage do we have in relationship to our revenue right now?
Well, our reserve policy, we've exceeded it dramatically. So currently, right now, we're sitting at about $6 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions? Yeah, so we are dedicated to providing the best service for the least cost to the consumer. And I love being part of a organization that's actually talking about reducing fees, even though we can't do it yet. That's encouraging. Any other questions or comments? Mr. Enns.
Peter, you have in this, as Jan pointed out, that last paragraph says you want to do a formal fee study. Is that something you do after the ad hoc committee input or before?
We'll be doing that after the ad hoc committee input and establishing the next fiscal budget. We don't clearly have an understanding of what the impact of the county is going to return is going to do for us. They've just rejoined in February 1st, so we'll have, as the ad hoc meets, we'll have about 2 months, 3 months of revenue vision, but that's really not going to give us a clear enough picture. I mean, we'll get close. We'll have the ability to have a pretty good forecast into where we're going to go, but I still believe a formal fee study needs to be done after we've had about 6 to 8 months of revenue input, because I don't think anybody who's going to be doing a reasonable study is going to be able to make those projections without having at least 6 to 8 months of information.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted you to know that we had a lot of confidence in what you just said earlier, and wondering why you wanted someone else to come and tell us the same thing.
Same reason as being the guarantor on a credit card.
I think it's a good idea, due diligence and all that, to make sure that we're on track with our fees. Any questions down at this end or comments? All right. I did want to just take a second and say that Director Barton joined us at a certain time, and Director Burbeau and Director Guthrie. So we're all on board now. Thank you.
tell you what committee you're on later.
Oh, sorry, Charles. You're president again, Charles. Whoops, sorry.
What did I miss?
I'm just kidding. Okay, now this is a receive and file, correct? Is there anything
correct.
Else that
there's
we need
no,
to
no
do?
There's no action on this item.
Do you have all the information from us that you need at this point?
I do. I think that the next item is the item that we're looking for. That's going to lead to the next piece.
All right, so let's go on to item number 10, creation of an ad hoc budget committee on page 21 of your packet. And Director...
Yeah, so the budget ad hoc, I mean, we work with staff to set goals for fiscal year 24-25 in accordance with our strategic plan. We really want to take a look at what we're earning now and try and get our solid waste management fee into alignment with our budget so that we're not over-earning at the rate we are currently. Once again, proposing that the fee analysis that we do after we realize the impacts of the county returning is going to be incredibly important. I can get you pretty close, I believe, as we go into the ad hoc committee, because I'll have some input as to what this is going to look like. But I think at the end of that, the recommendation will be to, you know, once again, from the budget, from the ad hoc committee and from staff to have this fee study conducted. But I would look forward to having a budget ad hoc committee put together to help me come through this.
Okay. Any questions about this? I guess the question I have is that since there's so many of us on this board, how many people are you envisioning needing on this ad hoc committee?
I would like to see three.
Three?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That keeps arguments to a minimum.
Yeah, we won't have any Brown Act problems with that. All right.
Three is what we did last year.
Are you volunteering, Mr. Brebeau?
I said I would volunteer, although I'm not set on it, so if three other people want to do it, that's okay.
Okay.
With me.
Who else would be interested?
I would volunteer.
In people?
If no one else wants to, but yeah, they've got plenty of things to do, of course.
Okay. It looks like Director Guthrie is volunteering. With no qualifications, just yes, I'll help. That's wonderful. Okay, anyone else? So that's three.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Inns.
I would volunteer, however, I was curious whether Mr. Paulding would like to represent the county since they're the new guys.
Mr. Enns, I appreciate that sentiment. However, I'm going to defer to those members that have experience with this board and just not add another committee to my plate at the moment, if you don't mind. Thank you very much for your consideration.
In that case, I would be happy to volunteer.
Okay, so would you want to volunteer as well? Okay, now you can pick either to your left or your right.
Go ahead, Robert.
Charles,
yourself, and then
Jim. Okay.
No,
I concede to Jim.
No, no. We need Mr. Inns.
Your mic.
Mr. Brebeau.
Microphone.
Oh.
I concede to Jim.
Oh, okay. I was talking over you. Sorry. And Mr. Guthrie. So Mr. Guthrie, one. Mr. Inns, two. And Mr. Brebeau, three.
What about John Traveler here?
Well, he's going to be out of town. He just told me he was going to be in Baltimore, and plus he's mayor and all that. So, okay. Those are the nominations. So, I'd like to entertain a motion on item number 10, creation of an ad hoc budget committee.
Madam Chair, go ahead and make a motion then that we appoint Charles Brebeau, Robert Inns, and Jim for the ad hoc committee.
All right.
I'll second it.
And it's been seconded by Mr. Robert. Let's have a roll call, please.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Inns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
And Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Motion does pass unanimously.
Thank you very much. Okay. And I appreciate the work of the subcommittee. I think it's very important. All right. Item number 11, we have review and approve the updated policy F8, records retention, and we get to hear from Jordan Lane, our deputy director, on this one. Jordan.
Thank you very much. We are bringing forward today a revised, updated F8 records retention and destruction policy. That destruction piece is new. Our goal here was to create a comprehensive yet streamlined retention schedule, and we're actually going to use the, if approved, we're going to use the categories listed in the schedule to also organize our files internally, our hard copy files. And this project was launched really to achieve better alignment with the Secretary of State's Local Government Records Program, and also with consideration of the Community Service District Association's retention schedules. So just trying to update the policy to better reflect our operations today. The destruction policy was added, and we have a means of logging destruction now, a destruction log, if you will, and that will allow for internal destruction with shredders or a third party outside service. Any questions on the proposed policy?
Well, let's see. Anybody have any questions on this? So we've been just hanging on to all these records, but not destroying any of them forever. Is that correct?
Correct. We have an office full of boxes right now that need somewhere to go.
All right.
Quick question.
Mr.
I think just for everybody's reference, did we have no policy, or is this, are there changes to an existing policy?
We had no policy. That the policy was, I believe, terminated in 2017. So now we've accumulated a number of documents over this time, and now we need to have a. Port Carland can't fit in her office anymore.
Okay, and so are they boxed according to the dates, like retention length, 5 years, or are they boxed according to the date of the documents already?
So if approved, they'll be categorized by the destruction date.
Oh, okay, but that hasn't happened yet.
Correct. Because, we did make some changes to the dates on the retention schedule just to make sure that they are compliant with state laws. And we did have the retention schedule reviewed by our legal counsel before presenting it to you.
Great, that's my second question, yeah.
Yeah, so you made reference to state laws, so all of the retention dates, of course, are as a meet the minimum of state laws. Some of them may be longer at your discretion.
Or Correct.
And
there's a stipulation in the policy, too, that says any law that requires a longer retention than what's in this record, that law would supersede our policy.
Jan, question.
Any more questions? Yes,
yes.
Mr. Hammond.
So this is just the hard copies. We always keep the scanned copies, the electronic version still, but this is the physical paperwork, right?
Correct. Destruction would be the physical paperwork.
Yep. Yes. Got it. Thank you.
That's a good question, but it begs the question then of retention of electronic records. I mean, you're not required to keep electronic records forever, but if they're of a similar nature, are you keeping them the same time frame so that if somebody said, hey, I want to see your credit card records, and we have a 5-year retention on the physical copy, you could, you would have the electronic version as well, let's say.
Yeah, we don't have a plan to purge electronic documents, mostly because they're not organized by a destruction date.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
This plan would, or policy would technically, I suppose, allow that, but there's also a legal holds clause in the policy that states if ever at any point the IWMA is on legal hold, then there will be no destruction of any documents, digital or hard copy.
Sure, but if there happens to be an electronic version of one of these paper things, we may keep the electronic version we may end up keeping that a lot longer.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I would think for a public records request, you need to have it for as far back as we can go, right, sometimes.
Yeah, so all of the dates, the retention dates listed in the date range on the destruction schedule are compliant with public records request laws.
But I think that's the purpose of having a retention date that complies with state law, so that somebody can't come in and say, hey, I want to see, your accounts payable from 1979, and you go, well, I'm sorry, we destroyed that in 2000 or something.
I I have a couple of questions.
Yes, Mr. Guthrie.
Do you want to jump in and say something?
Yes, if I may. So I just wanted to answer a few questions that have come up. So I can confirm that legal counsel has reviewed. The document retention and destruction policy is essentially a minimum on what's required to be retained. This is not the challenge right now. I think Director Borbeau, you asked this. The agency's policy, as I understand it right now, is that all records shall be retained in perpetuity. And so what this does is allow the agency to move forward with the destruction of certain records. Just to clarify a point that's been raised, the Public Records Act does not require the maintenance of records in perpetuity. Records can be destroyed in accordance with this policy, and we've confirmed that this meets not only the minimums of state law, but also the retention that's required to protect the agency from any legal actions that may come up. So contracts and leases, for example, are maintained for the minimum of the minimum statute of limitations that would apply to those contracts. So the Public Records Act does not require any this agency or any of your cities to retain all records in perpetuity. There are certain records that do need to be maintained, and that's accounted for in your policy. As to the physical and digital distinction, I think that if the board were to adopt this policy would guide what records, again, the minimum of the records that need to be retained. So certain records absolutely need to be retained by the agency for a certain minimum period and should not be deleted, but it would not speak to the destruction or deletion of those records, which is something that the agency can revisit at a later time. I hope that clarifies some of the questions that have been coming up.
Yes, so, Mr. Guthrie.
So my first question is, there's a number of places here where it says current, and I understand the first one because it's a contract, but not all of them seem that clear to me. So is there a criteria that we could apply to all of them? Wherever it says current, it is based on the end, because some of them are related to COBRA, for instance. And I understand from a contract standpoint, you know, the end of the contract plus 2 years. But what about something like, so that's a COBRA document, an employee document in general, or?
Yeah, so and Daniel, if you need to correct me, please do. But the current refers to whatever is being used now, and if it's replaced by a new policy, then it would no longer be considered the current document. So for example, on the record retention schedule is current plus 4 years. So once that's replaced by an updated schedule or policy, then it would no longer be the current copy, but we would retain it for at least 4 more years.
And
so I'm looking at employee benefits. Current, so the current is, there's a policy that, there's currently a policy for them, and we're going to add 4 years to it. I'm just curious why we don't put it in as being 9 years or whatever it is.
So I believe, Director, what you're referring to, if we're looking at the same line, is it refers to Human Resources Employment Health and Benefit Plan.
Well, this is the one I'm actually reading here.
Employee Benefit.
They're throughout the document.
Right. So as to the plan, which is just below that, it's referring to the current plan that's in place. And then after that plan expires, retaining it for 2 additional years. For the first line at the top of page 27, which is, I think, what you're describing, this is, again, about the I think in this case, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it would depend on the nature of the data. If it's about employment, so for a specific employee, it's for the term of their employment as far as their current employee plus 4 years, which is the state minimum for retaining this type of data.
Okay, so when they left the organization, we would keep the records for four years.
That's correct.
That's the minimum.
That's the minimum under state law for the retention of employee records. And so to the extent that this relates to a specific employee's record, it's 4 years. But then below that, again, under health benefits plan, that's the contract that the agency enters into for all plans, and that would be retained for 2 years after that plan expires.
So for example, then, and maybe I'll just go through these so I understand it. So when we see here general subject is current plus 2, which looks like they're data records of something. Sorry, I should have asked this.
Okay, did you finish your comment, Mr. Guthrie?
I'm sorry, I had another question then about another one.
Oh,
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
No, yeah, going no. on down that page to operations, it says general subject files, current plus two. What is the current? What are we referencing then?
So that would include correspondence with the public, say through, well, email would be a digital version of that. So the date that the email was sent, for example, plus 2 years.
Okay. And let me just, I think there's one more.
A letter of support might also fall under that category of general subject files.
Okay, and then property equipment services, current would be like the warranty or something? Or includes leases, but. Oh, I see, it's way on the far side. All right, I understand that one. Okay, thank you.
So your microphone is still on, so that makes me think you have another question?
No, I'm sorry.
No, okay, thank you. Yeah, I had a question on page 28, the third bullet down. Operations, record retention schedules, current plus 4 years. Are you gonna eliminate, are you gonna destroy the records retention schedule after 4 years? What if your retention records pertain to something that's more than 4 years? So seems to me odd that it wouldn't be permanent.
Sure, so that's the record retention schedule. So that might be replaced by a new schedule. And in the case that it's replaced by a new schedule, then we would destroy the old retention schedule 4 years later. So
Got
it's
it.
Not the log, the destruction log, it's simply the record retention schedule that's part of this policy today.
Right. So if that changed, then it would be current plus 4 years, we'd keep the old one.
Correct.
Okay, you might want to just clarify that a bit. You've got some nice space when it says description. I would just suggest that you fill that in a bit so that people know what you're talking about. Any other questions?
Well, I think the key here is that when it has the word current in it, it means it's a document that can be replaced by a new document. So you're going to, where it just says current, you're going to keep the new one. If you keep it until you have a new one, then you throw away the old one. If it says current for 2 years, it's like we adopt this policy. You will keep this policy around for 5 years, 10 years, but if some board changes it, then you have to keep this old policy around for 4 more years.
Yes, and another term that's often
and not
used
destroy it.
Right.
A term that's widely used across the jurisdictions is active. So I've seen either active or current used interchangeably, but referring to the same place and time.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Any other questions at this point?
I have one, Jan.
Pardon? Yeah, oh, sorry, Mr. Inns.
I'm just curious, on page 25, under policy changes, the last sentence there, first of all, we did this for our personnel policy where we can change it if the state changes, but that last sentence is not clear to me. It just says if any changes require the addition or deletion of one page of text or more, and I would ask our counsel over there, how much damage can you do in just under a page? And what are we trying to really say there in that sentence?
Thank you, Director. So I'm looking at that more closely now. I would suggest that the board adopt this policy, would recommend it without the inclusion of that sentence. I think the intention is for, so I worked closely with Ms. Lane to, there's a challenge where I think the initial draft that we were going back and forth on was close to 20 or 30 pages. At that point, it's really not a practically useful document. And so this is an attempt to streamline it so that you as a board, but also your staff knows what the issue is. And I think the clarification on current as also referring to being an active document is a helpful clarification. On that, again, I think this probably came from where the policy was a much longer document than, so one, to answer your question, one word can make a huge difference and much damage can be done. But I think this is probably a vestige from when this was not a six-page document, but was much longer than that. So if the board would like to approve this, I would recommend that it be approved without the inclusion of that sentence, just so that your board can speak to any changes that are required. I would also add to some of these concerns that, if I'm remembering correctly, a member of the IWMA management needs to approve the deletion and destruction of documents. So there is an additional layer of review where you have wonderful staff, but where the destruction of documents would be logged and approved by a member of your management.
Thank you. Mr. Barbeau?
So just to be clear, I mean, we're leaving in the part that basically says, hey, state law changes and changes this one requirement for 4 years to 5 years. The executive director will change the policy accordingly. No problem. No board approval needed because you're just complying with a technical change in state law, let's say. The whole one-page thing would have then given the executive director the ability to make, you know, change a whole paragraph in the policy, let's say, without board approval. By deleting that sentence, are you saying that, you know, if the executive director or staff wants to change anything else in here beyond just meeting a requirement of, you know, by a higher authority, then it would have to come back to the board?
So I'm not sure if you'd like to
change
the
policy.
I think that your executive and deputy directors would say the same thing, but because this has to be under the direction of legal counsel, what I can assure you is that this will be done to increase the standard of retention, number one. So it's only going to go in, it's a one-way ratchet. And this will be used sparingly because this is really used for emergency situations in the interim so that your board doesn't need to call a special meeting. That's the intent of this sentence. It would require an update to the policy, would require the executive director to work under the direction of legal counsel. And our interpretation of the intent of that is to meet minimums that are established in state laws so that your board has an opportunity to respond to that.
All right. I understand. I only think, just remind everybody, though, of how we got here. And we got here through, you know, a period of scandal, part of which emanated in the, you know, or included in its saga, the destruction of records due to the absence of a policy, et cetera. So I'm sure nobody on the board wants to get involved in the details of document destruction policy. But this particular agency should be particularly cautious in this arena.
Yep. And Director, that's why we did spend quite a bit of time. It's about a third of that second page on describing a legal or litigation hold. Once as many of you know, once a litigation or legal hold is in place, documents that are that pertain to that legal matter or litigation and or litigation are held indefinitely.
Right.
Until it's released.
Mr. Robert?
I might suggest that maybe not delete the whole sentence and just delete the part after deletion, the part that says of one page of text or more, so we still have an oversight of what's going on with the policy.
If I understand where the board's at correctly, I think that my recommendation is to delete the sentence outright because the intention is not to bypass your board on these types of policies. It's really to hold the line until you all have a chance to speak to it. And so that's where my recommendation comes from, is to delete the sentence altogether. But again, it's at your board's pleasure on what to do.
Could I ask a question real quick?
Yes, Mr.
Guthrie. Could you give us an example of what an emergency would be that, on a change in the records retention policy, they couldn't come back to the board?
So it would just be for a period of a few weeks until your board. So I think that practically that's a good point. The state legislature is unlikely to change a records sort of retention law without notice, you know, advance notice to the public. But one thing that actually has changed in just the past few years is that employee records need to be retained not for a 3-year period, which is what some agencies, so some of the sample policies that we looked at said 3 years. I think it used to be 2 years and now it's 3 years. So the state law can change and we want to allow for that response. So it's And there may also be ambiguities, for example, in this policy that are being interpreted in a way that doesn't comport with either the law or the board's policy intention. So to answer your question, practically, it's unlikely that this is to be used, but we do ask, I think generally because this board doesn't meet on a weekly basis, for example, what this does is allow your executive director and legal counsel to work together outside the context of a legal hold to change the policy before your board has a chance to speak to it.
So I would like to just suggest that the first sentence under policy changes on page 25 would read, this policy may need to be changed or updated for various regions. Okay, the second sentence, what I'm talking about here. In the instance wherein the policy needs to be updated to comply with the law, the executive director may update the policy under the direction of IWMA legal counsel with board approval. I just put the board approval in there so it's not just between the executive director and the legal counsel. I trust you both, but I do think the board would need to have it at least as a consent item on the agenda so those, we know what the heck is going on, which is important. So, and then I also agree with deleting the last sentence in that paragraph under policy changes. So. Any other, Mr. Paulding?
Well, if that was a motion, I'd second it. I'm not sure if we did public comment yet, and there were further comments and deliberation, so I'll hold back until I hear that.
Okay. Well, I did a blanket umbrella public comment on anything in the business items there. So any other questions or comments? Mr. Guthrie.
Yeah, so two comments. One, I actually think we should, it's an awkward sense, but we should leave it in place. I just can't see a situation that would be so dire that we couldn't bring it back to the board at least a consent item. The second comment, and it's just that there's, I realize we were we're reaching the state minimum, but it does strike me that there's just a whole, you know, it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, that we should try to, We have to exceed the state mandate, but we really should try to consolidate this down. So there's, in my mind, it's just begging for an accidental destruction. Think, oh, I thought it was 2 years, but it really was four. It just seems to me getting it down to like two and five or something like that would be a better way to go generally. I understand the desire here to sort of meet the minimum and follow state laws like exactly, but really, I think it could be a lot simpler. The fact that I don't think anybody really understood what current was is begging for someone. And yeah, yes, the director reviews it and in theory would pick any of those up, but it's just begging for a mistake to have that many different numbers in the policy, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, that's interesting perspective. Mr. Burbo?
I in regard to Mr. Guthrie's first comment on keeping the original sentence regarding the page, I think what the chair suggested in terms of saying, adding, bring it back for board approval, actually is stronger than this last sentence because it doesn't allow a page of discretion on the part of the executive director. I do want to make clear, though, that, I mean, because I think what legal counsel was getting at is you want to be able to respond to changes in state law. Maybe it's a court decision or something like that. And I don't know that it needs to come back for our approval. Consent calendar, I mean, I'm okay with that. Perhaps just a matter of it should be, you know, briefed to the board in an executive director's report that, hey, I made this change. And I don't know if it's under the direction of legal counsel or in cooperation or consultation with the legal counsel, because legal counsel generally doesn't direct. But to say, in other words, you made a change, you had to make this change, but you're informing us. So nobody on the board is surprised later of, you know, over a year we made 16 changes to the records retention schedule and we never heard about any of them. I'm okay if you say bring it back for approval, but I'd also be okay with a level of just, you know, it being brought up in executive director report that a change was made. If a change is made in record retention policy, the board will be notified. and probably the appropriate place to do that would be an executive director's report. In regard to Mr. Guthrie's other comment, as a second lieutenant, you always get a lot of additional duties, and one of mine was records management. I had a whole messy warehouse of boxes nobody had looked at for years of going through and saying, okay, this one can be tore, destroyed, this one can be destroyed. And you're right, having, if you just had like two categories, whatever the longest one is, you know, current plus seven, and maybe one other lesser category, you know, that's fit at five or three, then, and the only caveat to that would be is if you literally don't have enough space and you're constantly struggling to get rid of stuff, then you want to go with the minimums and get rid of it just for physical limitations. But if you don't have a physical limitation, less categories is always easier. You know.
Okay, I also have experience with records retention, having had my own law practice for over 20 years, and I would box closed. I had a 10-year retention. I had to hold on for 10 years. So when I closed the case, I would date the box, and like that, 10 years later, somebody would pull up to my office and take the box, and it'd be shredded, and that would be it. But so I personally feel that what's been presented is doable. I don't think it's too complex. I think the trick is going to be in the original indexing and cataloging of the documents themselves. And I also want to say that just because you have to, you can destroy something in 5 years, doesn't mean it's going to, like, poof, it's not going to disappear in 5 years. It has to do with exactly what you're talking about. Okay, we looked at our storage unit, and the oldest stuff has got to be packed toward the front, not toward the back of the storage unit. And, practically speaking, okay, it's time. I think we can do it. So anyway, I would like to move that, what I had said earlier, that we just add with board approval to the end of the second sentence on page 25 under policy changes, and delete the last sentence in that paragraph, which starts with any changes and ends with an approval. So that's my motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
Ms. Barton?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
And Mr. Paulding?
Yes.
Motion does pass unanimously.
Thank you. Well, that's brings us to the end of our regular agenda. I would like to request, if we all agree, that we add to every board meeting before adjournment a section called Director's Comments, and just put that in there routinely. Is that okay with everybody? I'll give you an example of a comment. Great triumph for Integrated Waste Management Authority and Mike DeMilo and Costco, that they now have three bins rather than two inside the store where they're giving their samples. I took a photo of it and put it on Facebook. So some people put photos of their family on Facebook. I put photos of recycling bins. Anyway, that's the kind of comment just to share. Sorry, Peter, I'm cracking you up. No. No,
it's grandkids, Jen.
Oh, grandkids! No, I did actually. Today is my youngest grandson's birthday. I did put that on Facebook. It's true, but but there might be other comments too. There could be questions. There could be comments. Something that not to in any way mess with the agenda, but just so that we don't just end and then people. So it's a chance that we can communicate as a group of people. So
certainly we can do that.
Yeah. So is that okay? I don't think we need a vote, but just general. Anybody have a problem with that? It might take an extra 3 minutes. So
we have that on our Cayucas agenda. And yeah, it can at times be quite entertaining.
Yeah, we have it on our city council, and I think the supervisors.
As do we. We added it actually earlier last year, and it works great. So I would recommend that we do that.
It's just sharing. So I think that's direction, general direction. So thank you. With that, are there any other questions or comments? Or all right, then I will close this meeting at 2:25.